Well, my voice is amazing. I'm talking. Here we go. We're having a sound check right here at Hope Church before we get started. So it's all good. How about this weather? We need to start building an ark. Are you mocking me again this week, Rachel? Are you serious? Like, last week wasn't enough. My daughter is turning 20 this week. Pull it up. Yeah, 20. Down. 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 Better? Is that good? All right. Yeah, 20. So Rachel's turning 20. So we're going, yeah, I did. I only have one teenager in my house as of Tuesday. So me and Rachel are going on a daddy-daughter date on Tuesday afternoon, so that'll be really nice. So you better be nice to me. So, all right. We good? Are we good? Are we recording? Ready? Set? We up? Go. All right. So we're studying the book of Ephesians for the last couple of weeks, and just give us a little review. So we've been talking about where Paul was. So Paul was a former persecutor of the Christians. He was a Jewish guy and a leader kind of Jewish guy. And he was a persecutor of Christians, became a Christian by a crazy set of circumstances on the road. He was knocked off a horse and had something to do with eyes and scales, and he was blind, and then, you know, amazing kind of stuff. So it was really cool. So go read about it in the book of Acts. And so then he becomes a Christian, then he becomes like one of the leaders. He actually becomes one of the leaders of the church. And he does a series of missionary journeys that take him all over that area, all over this area. This is actually his third missionary journey that he takes. And it takes him from Antioch all the way through Tarsus, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, Troas, and all the way back. And then he ends up back in Ephesus. This is actually the second time. The first time was more of a passing through journey. He goes through to Ephesus, and he stays actually in Ephesus between 2.5 to 3 years, depending on who you read and what you, there's a scripture that, you know, whatever. But it depends. So it's about 2.5 or 3 years. He actually stays a really long time in Ephesus. That's a really long time for him to be there as far as his journey. And so in that city of Ephesus, it's a major port city. So there's a lot of people going on there. It's like a going in and out kind of city. There's also a major temple to the goddess Diana that's there. And a bunch of cool things happens there. You can read about that in Acts 19. All this happens around AD, around AD 50, AD 55, somewhere around in that area, that's what they say. And so Paul finds himself later on, he finds himself later in a prison in Rome. And so one of the things he does, there's a lot of the prison epistles or letters. The word epistle just means letters. So there's a lot of letters that he writes while he's in prison, and the book of Ephesians is one of them. And so we talked about last week, two weeks ago, as we've been delving in, we said at the very beginning that this letter is written to people like us, right? People who are followers of Jesus, right? People who are Christians, and not just regular Christians. He calls them the faithful. So these are people who follow Jesus. They're followers of Jesus. They take what Jesus said and they try to implement it in their lives. So these are people who are not just Christians by name. They're people who are Christians by what they do, and they're followers of Jesus. So they're people like us, right? And So he writes to these guys, and at first he starts off the letter and he goes through a series of the in him type scriptures, like who we are in him, in whom, and the things that we have. And he talks about the inheritance that we have in him. That was the first week that we talked about. And in the second week, we began to speak on the prayers. There's many prayers that Paul prays in many letters that he writes. And this is one of them. This is one of his major prayers. This major just meaning a little bit longer than the other ones, right? Some of them are real short, like But this is one of the other, there's two actually found that we're going to do probably next week, the second one. But we talked about last week, the one, the first one. He prays that a spirit, you will receive a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's what he says. He prays that we would get this. And he prays this for what? He prays that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened so that we would know the hope of His calling, the riches of His inheritance, the power towards us who believe, according to His mighty power. And so we talked about those things have to be spiritually discerned. They have to be things that we receive by the Spirit, right? Just because you know your calling doesn't necessarily mean that's going to become a reality in your life. Just because you know what are the riches of the inheritance, just because you know it and you can answer it on a test and you know you did your Bible school and you could check it off the list, right? Doesn't necessarily mean you know it. And so what we need to do is drop it. I was corrected. It's actually not 12 inches. 12 inches would be like about right here. Actually, it's more like 14, 13 and a half. I think we measured it this morning because there was a big joke around. She goes, "No, David, it's a little bit further because you like this. Like it needs to be dropped from here to your esophagus. Like you're 12." And it was really funny. It was funnier when we were talking about it at home. But because there was a lot of laughing going on. Maybe it's delirium. We're going into pastoral delirium. It has to drop from here to here, right? It has to be something that you know. It's got to be something that you received. And it happens in prayer. We talked about the importance of prayer and receiving the understanding that we have a spirit of revelation. A spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Him. It's real important that we get those things. So this week, we're going to delve in our third week. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. So this kind of gives you an idea of we're going to be here a little bit. Amen? So let's start in Ephesians chapter 2. And it says this in verse 1. "And you," that means us, "He made alive, who were dead in trespass and sins, which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others." Paul says here that we have been made alive. We've been made alive. That is a new creation reality is what we call them. These are things that we've been made alive. If we've been made alive, that only means then that there was one time in our life that we were not alive, that we were dead. And this is really the core. He's talking about the core. The truth is, you know, Paul's going to get to, like some of us, we love Ephesians because it talks about spiritual warfare. It tells us how to deal with our families and deal as workers and co-workers, right? It tells us how to do all these things. But before he even gets to spiritual warfare, before he even gets to how we handle ourselves in our homes, and before he even gets to how we handle ourselves on the workplace, he says, you've guys got to get this down first. These in him type things. In whom? Who am I in Christ? You need to get these things. Because let me tell you, there is no spiritual warfare if you don't know who you are in Christ. If you don't know who you are in Christ, you will, I was struggling with the verbiage. Oh my gosh. See, we learn so much at this church. There's all kind of words that you've never heard. I told you it was going to be something this morning. The verbiage. I don't even know where I am. Hope Church, Sunday morning. It's not raining as bad as they said. Jesus. That we've been made. I totally forgot where I was. The verbiage. I can't believe I said verbiage. Gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay, Lord Jesus. Reset. Yeah, okay. So if we weren't, this is core to what we believe. The being born again is what we believe as Christians. And we need to make sure in a culture that kind of waffles with the gospel that we don't lose this. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Why is that? Because see, God wasn't lying to Adam and Eve when he said, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die in that day. God wasn't lying to them. The devil came along and told him, no, you're not going to die. Right? I don't have time to get into all that. But basically, the idea was when they ate, when they disobeyed God, they died. What does that mean? They died spiritually. Their spirit man died, separated from God. But Jesus, right, has come, and he's made us, the Bible says, he's made us alive. And listen, guys, listen. We can't lose sight, and this is a very unpopular thing. There is a difference between Christians and non-Christians. There is a difference between people who are born again and people who are not born again. There's been a lot of, you know, we get flack from it, we get flack from everybody, but according to the Word of God, which is how I base my life, the Bible says that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. That means if any man is not in Christ, they are not a new creation. Right? This is so unpopular, but it's absolutely the truth. We gain access as sons and daughters of God because of Jesus, because of who Jesus is. And Paul says, you who were once dead were made alive in Christ. So that's good news, that you are alive to God. Does it mean you're perfect? No. Does it mean you've been made alive? That means if somebody makes you something, that means you didn't do it on your own. He made you alive. God was telling the truth. They died spiritually. They were separated to God. They're separated from God. Right? Eternity is either this. Either you are with God. I mean, let's break it down. Or without God. Right? You're with the life of God or you're without. You put your opinion, whatever that looks like. But you are with God and you can imagine what the life of God removed is like. And that's a life of eternity without God. See, this is a core belief. It's not a do good and be a Christian gospel. Right? Should your life change as you become a Christian? Absolutely. Right? I'll get to that. I'm getting way ahead of myself. But should your life change? Absolutely. But it is not, listen, you become a Christian because you do. I mean, how many people have you heard? This is totally not in my notes. How many of people have you ever heard that they say their thing about coming to Christ is, well, I'm just not good enough to be a Christian. You know, I could never be that good. Or they say, I'm not, or, you know, you follow me? It's a works thing. Even though we've desperately tried to say it's not a works thing, the world has taken it and made it is a works thing. Right? And we need to be clear. It is not a works thing. It is a born again and not born again thing. It is a child of God and a not child of God thing. It is alive to Christ, like Paul says, or a not alive to Christ thing. And you gotta go with the word. Like, it's family here. Listen. Either we're going to trust what the Word... See, what we want to do is we want to pick and choose what we believe out of the Word. I want all the promises and all the good stuff. I want all the provision. I want all the blessing, right? But I don't know about all that other stuff. You know how hard it is to talk about some of the things that God speaks against in the Bible, in our culture? I want all the good stuff, but I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean... quiet this morning. It's the truth. See, and then he says this. He says, in which you walk, and let's see, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Trespasses and sins. Why does it say both? Trespasses and sins. Well, really, trespasses, actually, I wrote it all down. It's to basically, a trespass means this. It means to go off the path or to like slip aside. It means to kind of wander off, right? And sins, the word sin means to miss the mark. That's the literal translation. It means to miss the mark. We can go into it, and I was like, oh man, you know. So as I was studying it out, and these great theologians are talking about the great differences between these two, and then I looked, and really, they're synonyms. So just relax. They're sins, right? They're sins and trespasses, right? They're kind of the same thing. It's like the differences are so small that really they're synonyms for each other. Either way, it says sins can cause separation from God. And when God's life, and when God is life, and we're separated by Him with sin, we are dead in our trespasses, right? So we, listen, and then it says, Paul then begins, this is what I wrote, Paul then begins to say, we were once who walked a certain way, and now we don't. See, the assumption is that when we become in Christ, we put aside the things that we used to do. Now, this is a key part in our Christian walk. Are we saved by works? No. But we are saved, we'll get to it in a minute, towards good works. James says, you know, you show me, he says, I'll show you my faith by what I do. Right? If your faith is not causing you to grow towards God in your morality, we'll just say, I don't want to use the word holiness, right? If your faith is not causing you to grow in your morality, I don't know what to say to you. Because it says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, the people that are everywhere without God, who says, I don't care what, you know, morality is relative and all this, and what was okay then is and what was bad then is not really bad today. And so we go to all this moral relativity stuff, but he says, that same spirit that causes you just to treat sin and stuff like that as kind of a side issue, he says, that's the same prince of the power of the air that works now in the sons of disobedience. So listen, we are called towards holiness and towards godliness, right? Greg Crichel calls it the Christian atheist. He calls it the Christian atheist, that you acknowledge God with your mouth, but you deny Him with your lifestyle. The Christian atheist. Look, we are called towards holiness. And maybe it's really good it's just us this morning. Because we need to get this right. How many Christians do we know that their testimony is shot because of what they did? Because of what they do. Is there forgiveness in God? Absolutely. Is there restoration in God? Absolutely. But there is a call to walk holy. Now, I'm not going to sit here like people have done in the past and have told people that, you know, well, if you, you know, this, oh my gosh, I've heard such goofy stuff, right? You know, smoking won't send you to hell. Just smell like you've been there. You know, just goofy, you know, oh my gosh, just stop talking. Would you just please stop talking, you know? Like, give me the guy who smokes and loves his wife as Christ loved, and loves his wife as Christ loved the church, or walks in love with other people any day, and who doesn't backbite. This is going to be a great podcast. Okay. Give me the guy who smokes but doesn't backbite or speak ill about other people, yeah, encourages people all day long.
That's right.
All day long. Because of the character and nature of Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we miss the mark when we don't act like Jesus would want us to act. We don't use Jesus as the goal. I've said it many times before. Your number one study as a believer is study the person of Jesus. How did Jesus respond when people criticized him? How did Jesus respond to people who were demonic? How did Jesus respond to the woman who was caught in the act of adultery? How did Jesus respond? Study his life. Because the Bible says we're supposed to be imitators of God. And the Bible says that Jesus was God in the flesh on the earth. So man, make Jesus your study. Watch the life of Jesus. Watch how Jesus lived a life of selflessness. It wasn't about him. Matter of fact, he did miracles. He did miracles, and he would say so often, "Hey, don't tell anybody." Like, what? Miracles. He did miracles. There's like, people with their names up and miracles, blah, blah, blah. Jesus was like, "Hey, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody." But did Jesus do miracles and people come? Absolutely they did. Absolutely. I'm gonna get myself in a trap here. But do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus was humble, but powerful. Knew who he was. Knew the Father had called him. Amen? Amen. So we see. So then Paul goes on. He says, but God, this is where we're going to get good, I promise. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, and even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Keep going. Verse 6, it says, and raised us up. Wait a minute, am I right? Yeah. And raised us up to see and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where is Christ Jesus seated? We talked about it last week. Far above all principalities, right? Powers and might. We are seated together with Christ. That means I am not below principalities and powers. We've been given, we're seated with him, right? Through his authority. We talked about that last week. Through Jesus being the head of the church, he's given us that because we have Jesus and he's made us far above all principality, all demonic stuff, and he's been made, given us power over that, right? So that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding greatness, riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Keep going. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's go back to verse 4, if you could. I want to read this again. I want you to see there is something that we need to see in this portion of Scripture, in verse 4, that I want you to kind of grasp with me this morning. It is, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ, right? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he has loved us. Do you see there? That is motivation. That speaks of motivation. That speaks of why God did what he did. It speaks of God's motivation. And one of the motivations that he talks about is that God is rich in mercy. Are we supposed to walk in holiness? Yeah, but you know what? We walk in holiness towards a God who is rich in mercy. That word rich, right? Do I have to describe what rich means? Like, it means amply supplied, right? Like, a lotta, affluent, right? And one of the synonyms for rich is deep-pocketed. Don't you like that? God's got deep pockets of mercy. He's got deep pockets of mercy. Mercy just means this. It means compassionate refraining from an enforcement of something. So God, mercy basically means that what we were guilty of, God's in his mercy, his compassionate mercy, is like he's given it, he's removed that burden off of you. It's mercy. You know, you hear like, "I just plead mercy. I just plead mercy. I come on the mercy of the court," right? It's really kind of a courtroom word. I come at the mercy of the court. What does that mean? I know I'm guilty. But I know what I've done. But I cry out for the mercy of the court. And God, who is rich in mercy, he's deep-pocketed in mercy, gives us that mercy. If, you know what, guys, listen, I want you to take whatever view of God you have, and if it is not that, that God is rich in mercy, it's not like God is, you know, Greg, you really messed up, man. You really screwed up this time. I guess I'm going to have to forgive you. I don't really want to. But I'm just going to have to do it. I mean, because there's my name on the line. And the word says I'm supposed to. No, but you see, God is rich. And that word mercy has to do with compassion. There's a feeling involved with it. Do you understand that God has a feeling of mercy towards Greg and his evidently heinous sin that I've just bestowed upon him this morning? Sorry. But do you see that? Like, what do? We like cry and beg him, God, oh my gosh, I'm such a terrible person. Right? I'm just awful. I'm just so terrible. God, I promise, and this is what you hear people, if you get me out of this drunken stupor, I won't drink ever again. Like, you know, you hear that. Like, if you just forgive me, God, I'll do this. God's like, no, I am deep pocketed in mercy. It just flows out of me, and it never runs dry. And I'm affluently supplied, and I'm abundantly supplied of mercy. I give out mercy and mercy, mercy, because it's in me to give out, in God, rather. It's not in me. It's in God to give out mercy towards people. Isn't that good? That's a whole different view of God than the God is like, you know, you're going, oh my gosh. We look at Jesus when he talks about the unjust judge, right? God is not the unjust judge. Jesus was using that as an example. How much more God who gives out mercy. And then he says, and then because of his pretty good love. No, he says his great love. Do you feel that? Remember, this is speaking of why Jesus came. This is speaking of why God's giving you abundant life. It speaks of his motivation for making you alive because of his great mercy and rich, because he's rich in mercy and his great love. Do you feel, I want you to feel that. Because listen, Paul is saying, I want you to get this all down before I get to the family, before I get to spiritual warfare. I want you to understand this, that God is rich in mercy. It speaks of the Father's love towards you. That God loves. I mean, how many times we got to sing it? God, Jesus loves me, this I know. Do I? Do I really believe that God loves me? And it's really not according to what I've done. It's not according to what I do, because it's by grace you've been saved. Even when we're dead, he says, because of his great love, even when we're dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, because of his rich mercy and because of his great love that God has for you. Like, David, you're saying that over and over again. I'm going to say it over and over until we get it. Because if you get it, it will... How many of us struggle with identity? With who we are in Christ? With who you are? You're shaped by... This is not even my notes. You're shaped by your identity, by what people have told you. You're shaped by your identity, by what other people and other people's opinion about you. You're shaped and your mind is shaped and your identity is shaped by what others have spoken. And God says, listen, my rich mercy and my great love for you should rip apart whatever anybody says has ever said about you. Yeah. That means, listen, Christians, one of the greatest things you can do is build up people with your mouth. You speak life into the other people. My pastor used to speak, what was that message he spoke on? Yeah, he said, are you a maximizer or are you a minimizer? My favorite message he ever preached. Are you a maximizer or are you a minimizer? What are you doing with your mouth towards other people? What are you speaking to other people out of your mouth? It's important. Like, I don't want to be the cause of somebody's insecurity because of what I said about them. If we're supposed to be like Jesus, just what, think about what Jesus did. He spoke out against religious folks, right? But he spoke compassion, forgiveness, healing, restoration to everybody he came in contact with. He's my hero. I mean, Winston Churchill's okay, but Jesus is like my hero. Like, that's my goal, right? Because of the Father's love, it's the key thing. It will, man, go on the, if you haven't been on the HSE weekends, go on the weekends, because you will get it. If you don't get it, I don't know. Because that's what, they'll teach you that. Because the Father's love, and then, like, whatever your earthly father was ever like, you know, even maybe he may have even been great. He's nothing like our Father, our Heavenly Father. He showers you with words of encouragement, showers you with words of, like, when you think of God, I'm harping on it because I feel like we're peeling off some layers for somebody in here. If we get it, then it doesn't matter what my coworker says. It doesn't even matter what happens to me. I know the Father's love. I know that God is good. And listen, out of response from that, you live a life that's well-pleasing to God. It shouldn't be like this struggle to go, I don't know, I really, you know, I want to hang on to this sin that's causing death in me, right? It's this thing where you go, God, I want to be more like you because you shower me with your love. Amen? And then it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ. I'm sorry, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good work, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You are saved towards good work. You were once dead, according to what Paul's saying, what the Word of God says. You were once dead in your trespasses. You've been made alive together with God, putting off your old self, putting off all the stuff that you used to partake in, right? And it's the sanctification process. It's not, sanctification is just a word of becoming like Jesus, right? It's a process, right? Don't you wish when you got saved that, like, you know, all of a sudden, like, God just took a hold of your tongue, you never cussed again? It was like, great. It's like, oh, it's like all gone. I forgot all those words. And I can't even remember, you know, we'll hang around, people teach them back to you. But, you know, I wish like when you got like all your earthly desires and all your stuff that'll burn up, like all that stuff, don't you wish that like when you go, in Jesus' name, I receive you as my Savior, amen. Like, oh, I have no more fleshly desires anymore. It's all good. No, the sanctification process is becoming like Jesus. So listen, we were made alive in him, right? We were once separated from God through sins and trespasses. Now we've been made alive in Christ. What do we do? What's our response to that? We put aside all of our other stuff towards what? Towards good works. What are good works? Simply put, pushing the kingdom of God forward and pushing the kingdom of the devil back. Pushing, what do I do all day long? I love my wife as Christ loved the church. What am I doing? I'm pushing the kingdom of darkness back. I'm pushing the kingdom of God forward just by a simple act. Men, this week. Women, this week. Husbands, wives, it's Valentine's Day. You have a great moment on the calendar. If you forget all year, here's your day. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil, right? The scripture says. That you can push forward, like you can push forward your relationship with your wife, which does what? It pushes forward the kingdom of God. When I push forward my marriage relationship, I am pushing forward the kingdom of God, and I am pushing back the kingdom of darkness out of my family. That's what I'm doing. It's really that practical and that simple. It is loving my wife as Christ loved the church. Anytime I step into obedience, what God's called me to do on the planet, I push the kingdom of God forward, and I push the kingdom of darkness back. And the kingdom of darkness continues to pile and push and push and push. And you say, no, 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 no. What do? I hit my knees. I pray. I pray. Continue to pray. Pray, pray, pray. Push. Pray until something happens, right? Push. Pray. Pray. We don't know what to do more. I pray again. What do? Listen to worship music. So I'm fueled up, ready to go because I know the attack's coming. But I'm saved towards good works. My wife said it this morning. If I'm not saved towards good works, then he might as well have just taken me to heaven when I got saved. Listen, we have a job to do. We became alive in Christ. I mean, it's the gospel in chapter 2 of Ephesians. We've been made alive with him, seated with him in heavenly places, right? Pushing off all the stuff that we used to do. We don't walk according to the pattern of our old lifestyle. We're changed. We're being transformed from glory to glory. We're made, being made new. And now we're saved towards, I got a job to do. You got a job to do. We're going to talk about in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. We're teaching through Ephesians, so I'm going to go through it. But 2 weeks, I'm going to teach on the body and your part to play in the body. You have a part to play. I'm just going to not say all the things I want to say. But it's important that you're saved towards good works. Amen? Let's all stand together. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Just with your heads just bowed, you don't have to close your eyes to talk to God, right? But just so that you can kind of push everything else out, just you and him. So the question is, like, what area, as I've been speaking, what area have you been really, man, that's really messed with me this morning. Maybe it's the Father's love. Maybe you really haven't received the fullness of the Father's love towards you. Or maybe there's some things, remember, we're family this morning. Actually, I really believe this by God's providence. Maybe there's some things that you really need to push back out of your life. Sometimes there's some things that we need to let go before we go to where God has us to go. Jesus. Or maybe there's some places in your life where you just go, I'm just not really doing anything. I'm not really pushing the kingdom of God forward. Maybe your question to God this morning is, God, what do you want me to do? What would you have me do? Maybe it's just speaking words of kindness to other people. Maybe it's I've talked about this, but maybe it's pulling somebody younger than you around you, or maybe hadn't been walking with the Lord as long as you have, and you pull them aside and you kind of start teaching them and mentoring them. Like, what are you doing to push the kingdom of God forward? And those questions, just between you and God, they're between you and God. Jesus, we look to you and we thank you. God, I honor you this morning. God, that we would receive the Father's love. We would receive love so that we could flow love out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. citizen. I receive
everything
you have for me, God. God, speak to me. Now, this is up to you. And you say, God, correct me where I need to be corrected. Lead me where you want me to go. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God has awesome stuff for us. He has plans and purposes that we can't even think about. There are things that there's things that you just don't even know. No eye can see, right? That's good stuff. I gotta close. Will you come up to the keyboard for me, Craig? All righty. Everybody doing all right? It's quiet. Amen. Well, we're going to open this floor open for prayer. And if you need prayer for anything, we're going to have people that are going to come down and facilitate that prayer. And I'm going to learn how to speak by next week. How about that? So, amen. God's good. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you so much. If you need prayer for anything, we will see you guys tonight. And God bless you. We're dismissed.